Lord Jesus, we thank you for this reflection time, a time that we take every Sunday to pause and remember the anchor of our faith. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to just reflect on those things that may be hanging us up this week of walking in full obedience. Lord, I do pray that you would just help us be mindful of those, allow your Spirit to lead us, convict us, encourage us, exhort us, Lord, into that way. God, as we examine Psalm 23 and this great reminder of what the shepherd is, we are reminded that you are the good shepherd. And in Luke 10, you remind us that the good shepherd knows his sheep and the sheep hear his voice. Lord God, I pray that you would help us hear your voice today. Hear your voice and apply it in a way that only you can, splitting between bone and marrow into our lives. And God, I want to thank you for the opportunity just to preach your word. I pray that this would not be just my words, but Lord, that you would use these words to impact every heart and mind here this morning. So we thank you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. And all the church said, amen. Well, I do want to welcome you into our Psalm 23 series. So if you have your Bible, smartphones, tablets, you can turn with me there. We tackled verse 1, I know, all of verse 1 last week. Boy, it took all 35 minutes. So, you know, buckle up. We got two verses to tackle this week. So here we go. No, if you weren't here, I'll just give you a quick update. Verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. And we emphasize the phrase my because if he's not my shepherd, then we're already off track, right? We're already, so everything else in Psalm 23, this matters. Is he your shepherd or not? So we're going to circle back to that. But I just want to say, as he is the Lord, your shepherd, we got to ask the question, if he is, what does that mean for our lives? What does it mean for us? And it turns out what we're going to find in the next two verses is that there's actually a lot of rest promised if the Lord is your shepherd. Good news, right? Because I was doing some research, and there's a Gallup poll that said Americans today average 6.5 hours of sleep per night. Some of you average maybe a little more than that. Some of you maybe a little bit less of that, all right? But that's not very much sleep, in my humble opinion. I would like to have more than that, right? Interestingly enough, 57% of Americans say that they wish they had more sleep. Just a quick enterprise Gallup poll. How many of you say, wish you had just a little bit more sleep? Are we at 57%? Pretty close, actually. Not too far off, okay? And so that kind of reemphasizes for us that, hey, you know what? We could all probably use a little more sleep. Now, because at least half of us have a sleep problem, right? We got to go to therapy. Every time we got a problem, we got to go to therapy. And so I hope this helps. And just like every good therapist, he's going to ask us to remind us or repeat after him some good things. Here's a little video. Hope you enjoy.
Be after me. Okay. Taking time to rest. Taking time to rest is an act of self-love. Is for lazy losers. No. Hustle, hustle, hustle! Why don't you take care of yourself?
Don't deserve it.
Stop running from your feelings.
No feelings, just doings.
You need rest and sleep.
I'll rest when I'm dead.
There's your therapy for the morning, right? Yeah, there we go. I'm certain that I've said this, I'll sleep when I'm dead, you know, kind of this commitment to just going and going. You know, this little clip, I think, for me, highlights so much in our culture today. We are the most connected, entertained, informed generation there has ever been, and we're also the most exhausted. Funny thing about Psalm 23, it was written 3,000 years ago, okay? 1,000 B.C., King David picks up a pen and finds some parchment and decides to write out this incredible psalm that for centuries has been given hope and encouragement to so many. But I hope that you are not lost on the fact that it is 3,000 years ago, even King David, before emails, before smartphones, before social media, before whatever, vehicles and tractors and lighted baseball fields, okay? King David knew that he needed someone to help him find rest. And as I was preparing this message, I couldn't help but have that be highlighted in my own life, that this pressure, this idea of keep going, keep doing, keep, is something that the enemy has used for centuries to draw the sheep away from what God's will is. And if it was true 3,000 years ago, is it not any more true here today? And so I need this message more than anyone probably in the room. So with that in mind, I'll be preaching to myself. And again, if you care to listen and apply it, feel free to do so. So here we go. Verse 1, we'll just recap this, okay? The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. Okay, and because that is true, he lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths. He brings honor to his name. Four things that the shepherd does. Three of them are about receiving, something that the sheep receive from the shepherd, and one of them is about direction. And we're going to take a moment here this morning and kind of unpack some of these verses, and I hope that we can find something along the way. The first thing is the word lets. Now, I like the NLT because of how it reads. I think it's a relatable English that we can all understand, but I gotta say, the word let's is a little bit weak on how I think the Hebrew word is being communicated. In the NIV, the NLT, I'm sorry, the NIV, the ESV, the NASB, all of those translations of the English Bible use the word makes. He makes me lie down, and probably use the word pastures instead of meadows, all right? The idea of the Hebrew word here is rabats. Now, it's not rabbits, don't worry, and it's not robots. I was thinking robots. That'd be a fun correlation between robots are supposed to make our lives easier and rest. Well, that wasn't there either. So, sorry, I can't make that connection for you, but you might help you remember this. So, he rabats me. He lets me. He makes me. And really what the idea of this Hebrew word is getting at is he makes a way for me to rest in green pastures. He's not politely saying, hey, take a Sunday afternoon nap, although, hey, sounds like some of us could probably use one, right? He's actually intervening, and this is an important idea of how he makes or how he lets us find rest, is that he's actually intervening. Now, I did some homework. My parents had sheep on the farm. They don't need more, so I know a little bit about sheep. Some of you know a lot more about sheep, but it's interestingly enough to know that sheep will not rest unless they are free of fear, unless they are free of friction with other sheep, unless they are free of pests like flies or gnats or you know, even ticks or something on them, or free of hunger. Unless all four of those things are simultaneously together, sheep will not rest. And I thought that was interesting, that he's not just moving us to a greener pasture. He's actively guarding against predators. He breaks up conflict amongst the flock, and he treats pests and feeds these sheep. And this is how he's intervening. He's making a way for rest to actually happen. And I think this is so important for us to take away today, is because many of us have obstacles in our lives that we don't want to move, but that one thing is maybe what's keeping us from having the kind of rest that God would actually use to renew our hearts and rejuvenate our souls. And so this is something that I think the shepherd understands is essential for our health, not just optional. And so that might be that circumstances we didn't choose end up being the tool that God uses to give rest. Or maybe a season where we are slowing down. Maybe it's our body that finally says, nope, that can't go anymore. It's time for a break. Now, let me just give you a couple of personal examples of how I have seen this play out. Like flight cancellations. How many of you think flight cancellations are a great way to rest? No, we think they're inconveniences. They're frustrations, right? But many of us have experienced a flight delay of some kind. Becky and I had the chance a number of years ago to go on a trip, and we were coming back from that, and our connection was in Dallas. And of course it's Dallas, right? All the planes are getting canceled in Dallas. But so here we are flying, and I remember looking out the windows at the plane, and the wings are like this. I mean, it was serious, right? We were one of the last planes to land in Dallas. Everything else was getting diverted around. And before we left, to head back home, Becky and I had both said to each other, I just kind of feel like we could use it like one more day to kind of like before we jump back into to full steam, full life stuff. And I remember like looking back thinking, man, this is bad news. But we ended up getting a full 24-hour layover. So we had a hotel and we had meals and that kind of thing. And we actually got our one day of rest extra for the vacation. It was a gift. And one of the things that's so helpful in reorienting our mindset around the idea of rest and inconveniences is when he is the good shepherd, when he's my shepherd, and I'm walking in his path, we get the opportunity to see flight cancellations as an opportunity to take a nap at the airport, right? As an opportunity to rest, or maybe to reframe ourselves of that God is still in control, he's still doing something here that maybe I need to see instead of just walk in my frustrations. Let me give you another example. Pain. Pain is a great way. Our bodies say, nope, not going to go anymore. All right, many of you remember about a year and a half ago, I was preaching to you in a sling, right? I had shoulder surgery. Now, that was because I had been going to the point that I started tearing things in my shoulder and that needed to be repaired. Now, I had dreams and ambitions and expectations and a schedule. Surgery was not in any of those things, but pain said, you know what, Darren? Stop, pause, get this thing fixed so you can continue to be healthy. And praise God, because I took that time to rest and recover, have the surgery, my shoulder is stronger than ever, right? But I needed the downtime. If I just had surgery and then didn't rest and just kept doing things, what am I going to do? Re-injure, cause more problems, cause deeper issues. This is the kind of moment where it's like, okay, even pain can be a sign to say, hey, God's trying to slow you down to rest, to maybe meet him where you are, where he is and where you need to be. I was thinking of trucks that break down, or maybe you're going through a pain or some kind of surgery. Becky and I have been in seasons of sickness. And here's another truth, right? Some of you parents can relate to this. You've been going, and all of a sudden you got four people sick in the house, and what do? You cancel everything. Right? Everything. You're not doing anything besides eating chicken noodle soup and watching home movies. And what do you whisper to your spouse? Man, this is kind of nice. Like, why do we have to be sick to finally say, I don't have to be so busy? My time doesn't have to be so full. Why can't I just allow myself to say, you know what, I'm healthy and I'm strong, and guess what? I'm going to slow things down and say no more than I say yes. And do you know why that is? Because rest is for losers. What's our therapist just tell us this morning, right? Rest is for losers. No, we at least believe that lie in culture. Because this is the trap. That our value is tied to how busy we are, how many things we're doing. Our identity is in getting stuff done. And so we have an identity issue. We have a value issue. We have all these issues. And we don't have time to rest. We're taking the world by the horns. You know, I love Charles Spurgeon. He's so gentle here. He says, God, the shepherd, right, does not drive us. He leads us. He does not frighten us into rest. He draws us into it. And so I would just encourage us right off the bat here as we look at lets us rest or makes us rest in Green Meadows. Where's the shepherd's hand in your life right now? Where is he making a way for you to rest? And maybe the reflection of that is, are you being the stubborn sheep that doesn't want to? Or maybe there is some friction in your life. Maybe there's some fear in your life. Maybe there's some pests in your life. Maybe there's some things in your life that you need to go to the good shepherd and deal with so he will make a way for you to rest. And let me just, before we move on, one more thing. What I have found in my own life is that I need to give myself grace to rest. God is giving you the grace. He gives you the opportunity, but you have to give yourself grace to say, you know what, I don't need to be running ragged this Saturday. I don't need to be running ragged every single evening. I can rest, and that's okay. And my value, my identity is not tied to being so busy that I'm exhausting myself. So find those moments where God is meeting you in the sickness, in the season, in the pain, in the delay, in the inconvenience. Change your perspective and let him bring you into rest. which leads to then the next thing. He leads me beside peaceful streams. Now, not only does he give us rest, he gives us nourishment, right? Peaceful stream. Now, what's interesting about sheep, again, sheep are picky drinkers, okay? They are scared of fast-moving water, all right? A sheep in fast-moving water is a dead sheep, right? In the Middle East, and maybe even done still today, is the shepherds would go into a stream, a fast-moving stream, and dam up a portion to where they would begin to pool. And that would slow the water so the sheep could go and drink. You've heard the phrase, drinking out of a fire hose. Now, have you ever tried to drink out of a fire hose? I hope not, because it probably was pretty painful. You're not drinking, even though there's plenty of water, right? It is blasting you. It is not helping you. Okay, now that's one thing I want us to understand, is that the shepherd is actually giving us water to drink. It's not because we live in a world that there isn't water. There's plenty of water. There's news, notifications, expectations, opinions, demands, all kinds of water. But no wonder our soul's parched, right? It's coming at us like a fire hose, and we can't drink out of that. And why can't we drink out of a fire hose? Because it's blasting us. And so through that, I think the shepherd knows the difference, because he's a good shepherd. He knows whether it's water we can drink out of. He knows whether it's going to be slow and peaceful. And maybe for some of us, that's reading through some of these psalms that we have the opportunity to read through. Maybe it's a walk. Maybe it's a conversation. Maybe it's a page of scripture. And this is the kind of water that actually replenishes our soul, not just blasting us. All right, so he brings us to rest. He provides nourishment. He also then renews my strength. Now, most translations might say, he restores my soul. That's because the Hebrew word here is nephesh. Now, nephesh isn't just a spiritual part of your soul and isn't just the physical part, right? It's holistic health is what he's saying here. Body, mind, emotion, spirit, appetite, your will, the whole person. Okay, this is what this is talking about, restoring my soul, restoring my whole being. And as Americans, we realize, oh, sweet, that means I get my schedule back, right? Oh, sweet, that means he's going to carve up more time so I can go do fun things in my schedule. No, that's not exactly what he's saying here. Now, some of you, I know, are in a season that feels like resting is a cruel joke. All right, like rest, like what? Since when do I have the opportunity to take a 3-hour nap? I know some of you are dealing in that baby season, right? We're in that baby season. I mentioned that before, where sleep is difficult to find. Some of you maybe are caregiving for your parents, and that is so demanding and emotional. Some of you are walking with a spouse struggling with mental illness or chronic pain or some kind of long recovery. Some of you are in that frantic season of calving and farming and fire seasons coming and you know, a version of just take a Sabbath day isn't really in your equation. And so I don't want you to stand up here and be like, oh, just rest more and then that's the answer. That's not the gospel. That's a Hallmark card. Soul restoration is not the same thing as a quiet weekend. What I want us to see is that the shepherd restores the nephesh of a new mom that has only had 3 hours of sleep. He restores the nephesh of a caregiver who continually sees the demands that he or she need to deal with. He restores the nephesh of the farmer or the firefighter or the person who is just in a super busy season and feeling super stretched. How does he do that? Because the nephesh restoration is something that the shepherd does to you, not something that you can manufacture in yourself. Sometimes it looks like that 5 minutes that you get right before the kids wake up. Sometimes it looks like an honest prayer 2 minutes before you step out of the truck to go to work or to step out to that game. Sometimes it looks like that person who all of a sudden out of nowhere gives you the extra $50 you didn't know you needed or brings a meal to your house, right? The shepherd is creative in how he brings rest, but he restores his sheep in these kinds of ways. And let me just also add to this, let's not confuse I need a vacation versus restoration. Corey Ten Boom, I think, puts it well. Beware of barrenness of a busy life. And I want us to sit on that word barrenness for a moment, because barrenness, see, a busy life can be very barren, can't it? Think about it, right? A busy life can be barren because being productive on the outside, but it's empty on the inside. Activity without fruit, motion without meaning. That's the warning that Corey gives us. I think Dallas Willard kind of puts it similarly, but a different way. Hurry is the great enemy of spiritual life in our day. Hurry, not busyness, hurry. So there's these kind of two different ways of saying something very similar here. Notice, right, look at Jesus's life. When you read through the Gospels and you see his ministry, talk about somebody who had a very full schedule, very busy, you might say. Crowds following him, demands of his time, people pulling for his attention all the time. I mean, but he was not hurried. And this is a phrase that I think is so important for us to remember. He moved at the pace of his Father. Think about his 3-year stint of ministry. He didn't die in year one. He didn't die in year two. He died in year three. There was a pace to his ministry. There's worlds of need, but he focused on where was God having him in that moment, because he had a ministry and a mission to fulfill. His time was very, very full, but it was at the pace of what the Father's will was. And he would even stop for the one, even though there was 99 that were still waiting for him. There were times that the crowds were waiting for him and he withdrew from them because he was at the pace of the Father. And for some of us, maybe myself included, certainly full and busy can be barren, but full doesn't mean we have to be hurried, right? And so many times when we think we're resting, we're like, oh man, I'm wasting time, or oh, I should be doing this, and we feel guilty. Maybe we even feel empty, like, oh no, I'm just not doing enough. A busy life and a full life can look almost identical on the outside. This is what I want you to see. Same calendar, same demands, same number of hours used up in the day. But a busy life are wheels spinning. Effort without meaning. This is the warning of Corey Ten Boom, right? Like, barren even though it looks very productive. Versus then weighing a full life, and the meaning of a full life would be thinking about rich relationships, good labor, worthwhile commitments. These are the things that are producing fruit, not just exhaustion to the worker. And listen, there have been many days that I have sat down at the end of the day physically exhausted, but so grateful to have done the things that I did the day. You ever sit down and have that moment where it's like, man, today was a full day? It wasn't just a busy day. It wasn't just an exhausting day. It was a full day. It was a meaningful day. It was a productive day. And then there are certainly other days where, boy, you walk around like your hair's on fire, and it's like, what have you actually done? Nothing, right? And you're just as exhausted. You're just as tired. And you begin to see the contrast between this idea of what I'm trying to flesh out here is this busy life versus a full life, and taking these moments to understand, am I walking on the shepherd's path? Right? Am I going at the Lord's pace? And you know, so we receive these things from the shepherd. We receive the rest. We receive the nourishment. We receive these refreshing moments in our soul. And then we see that he guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Notice the order of this psalm. And I've actually never noticed this until just studying this a bit more. David doesn't lead with the paths of righteousness. Consider that. He leads with lying down, still water, soul restoration. And then, once those three things are being talked about, then he says, he leads me along right paths. If you're not taking notes, you might consider writing this down or maybe take a picture of the screen. You can't follow the shepherd into right paths if you haven't first let him restore you. I need to hear this. So I'm preaching to myself. How many times have I tried, have you tried to walk in paths of righteousness with a depleted soul? Christians do this all the time. Right? Like, we're trying to be patient, but we haven't rested. We're trying to love our spouse on an empty tank. We're trying to show up to church and to serve and to lead and make disciples, but our nefesh is running on fumes. The order is not optional. And if you're struggling to walk in righteousness, it might not be that you just need more discipline. It might actually be that you need to lie down. Because the shepherd is making a way. But you got to follow the shepherd. And he in doing this, he brings honor to his name. Consider this. God is putting his reputation on the line in the path that he is asking you to walk. Consider that. The shepherd, the good shepherd, the God of the universe, is staking his name on the path he puts you on. This is, I think, something that we gotta really sit in. The shepherd leads us into paths that honor who he is. And he will not lead you somewhere that dishonors who he is. And listen, if our shepherd knows where the still water is, where the green pastures are, okay, and yet we decide to go our own way in rebellion, in sin, in whatever thing we think we know better, we don't get the luxury of blaming God for being exhausted and overwhelmed. Because we've been doing our own thing anyway. God was busy making a way, and we're just over here irritated and frustrated that life isn't going the way that we want. How about that? Remember that the next time we're considering saying yes to something. Remember that the next time we're tempted in some way or another. Like, rebellion against God is actually rebellion against our own best interests. Because a shepherd who cares about his own name will not lead his sheep off of a cliff. The subtitle of the series, Finding Confidence in the Shepherd's Care. That's what we're talking about, finding confidence. Do we actually have confidence in the shepherd's care? Do we actually trust that his path will lead us into these things? You know, I'm staring into the mirrors, I'm looking at you, wondering, I'm not sure how I always answer that question. C.S. Lewis puts it well. God cannot give us a happiness and peace apart from himself. Because it is not there. There is no such thing. And this is, church, I want us to hear this. And again, only because I'm preaching to myself. The path isn't restrictive. We think, well, if I say no to this, well, then I'm missing out on all the other things that life has to offer. The path is not restrictive. The path is the route that actually gets you somewhere worth going. I know plenty of people who are busy, 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 going, 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 that are going nowhere, that are spinning their wheels, that are wasting their time on things that don't matter. They have no eternal value. But the shepherd will lead you to places that will honor who he is, which has great eternal value. Do we actually have confidence in the shepherd's care? So, just to get really practical, I've been trying to end the Psalm 23 sermons with like a very practical move and a formational question, okay? And so as we think about this, again, the shepherd leads, but sheep, right? We got to follow. And every yes we give is a no to something else. And every no we give is a yes to something else. Kevin Melville will tell you that's called opportunity cost, right, Kevin? All right, I learned something from him as we've talked over the different times. Opportunity cost. And ironically, opportunity cost has been this like transformative thing in my mind, because guess what? You being here at church has an opportunity cost. Did you know that? You saying yes to coming here, you've said no to a plethora of other things, like a few things. Sleeping in might be at the top of your list, all right? Some of you are getting that sleep right now, and that's okay. All right, you made it here. That's good. Okay, we're at least making the right steps. That's important. Right, so opportunity cost. You could have said no to church and then yes to any other thing, right? Like, you say yes to something, you're actually saying no to a plethora of other things. Or you say yes to one thing, and then you're saying no to other things. You know, I've shared the baseball illustration, right? I said yes to coaching baseball. That means I said no to a lot of evenings at home, all right? That was just a part of the cost of saying yes to baseball. If you're an athlete, you've said yes to being a successful athlete. That means you've said no to poor eating and bad sleepy habits, right? If you're a parent, that means you... let's not even get started on that no list, right? We've said no to a lot of things being parents, okay? So listen, the question isn't that we're saying a bunch of yeses and a bunch of nos, okay? The question is who is leading what you say yes and no to? Who's leading that? Are you the one that gets to say yes and no to everything, or is the shepherd helping you make that decision? And that's why I want to lead you with this clear move step, okay? I want to challenge you with this week. Like, to move from self-directed busyness to shepherd-led fullness. Does that make sense? If I have to ask that question, probably doesn't, but hope it does. We'll just say it does. Right? That's the shift. Like, we move from an empty life of busyness, of spinning our wheels, of busy, 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 going, 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 to a shepherd-led fullness, and we start living at the pace of what God would have us live. Right? He's not asking us to do less just for the sake of doing less. Right? Rest isn't just for losers. Rest is for God-honoring people. And when we make that move, and I'm still learning how to make this move, by the way, but I've gotten better at it. I've gotten better at saying no to things that I know are just time traps. Things that I know that I don't have the capacity in me, in my 24 hours in a day, to do the thing that somebody might be asked. So I have to say no to those things. Not because it's a bad thing, not because it's an unworthy thing, but it's because it's not where God is leading me to go. And so when you stop directing your busyness and start receiving fullness, I think that's where everything begins to shift. And so again, we got to ask that question, do I actually trust God's pace? This is such a convicting question, isn't it? Like, it is for me, because I often don't. I got a lot of things I want to do on my list. I got a lot of things that I want to get done. Having a big family, being a part of the community, church ministry. Like, there's a lot of stuff we want to get done. But I have to run at the pace that God is leading me. And there are certainly seasons that are faster and seasons that are slower. But I have to be okay with where we are in that. So the question that I want to lead you into, this would be maybe your take home. What's the one thing that you can do? What's the one thing this week that you can say no to so the shepherd can lead you somewhere that's actually worth going? You can say yes to a lot of things that are not worth going to. What can you say no to so the shepherd can lead you to the place that's actually worth going? This doesn't mean that you got to quit something forever. This doesn't mean that this is some life overhaul. This week, identify one thing and see what God will do with that one thing. You can't be led by the shepherd until you're his sheep. And this is where I want to close. We all walk, and we made a choice to be here today. And so I'm going to assume that you're at least hungry to be a sheep for the Good Shepherd, and he will lead us into rest and still water and restore our soul and be on the right paths. But we have to be his sheep first. And Jesus invites all of us into that place. He says in Matthew 11, we've looked at this verse a number of times as we finished up the Matthew series, "Come to me, all who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." That's the gospel. The gospel doesn't say, try harder, and then I'll give you rest. The gospel doesn't say, clean your life up first, and then I'll give you rest. The gospel doesn't say, get your life sorted out, and then Jesus will finally make time for you. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened. The one running on 3 hours of sleep, the one who hasn't laid down in years, the one who knows that their soul is parched, but doesn't know what to do about it. This invitation is for you. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened. Jesus laid down his life on the cross for the sheep that has wandered away. And he rose 3 days later to prove who he was in his authority. And he's inviting you into this rest that he offers all who would call upon his name. So let's consider that this morning and run at the pace God is leading. Lord God, I want to thank you for this morning to just sit in Psalm 23, verses 2 and 3, to be reminded of some of these potent truths that we know are there, and maybe we've struggled applying them for whatever reason, I don't know, but you do, and you are speaking to our hearts and minds right now. Lord God, I pray that you would rejuvenate our hearts as we surrender those things, as we surrender control, as we acknowledge trust, as we gain confidence in your care. Lord, I pray that this Psalm 23 would be a moment in time that we can pause and really reflect and see where you are leading us. And instead of frustrations, instead of irritations, instead of thinking that you're some mean God who's reckoning my life, Lord God, I pray that we would see it as a pause, as an opportunity to come back to still water and green meadows and allow you to restore our soul and gain the confidence in who you are and in what you're doing within our life. We pray this all together in Jesus' holy and perfect name. Amen. Let's stand together.